again, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Everyday Mission Podcast, which is brought to you in part by Missio Alliance. I'm Mike Potter. Your host of the Everyday Mission Podcast is Gina Mueller, who is the director of 3DM North America. You can find out more about 3DM at 3dmovements.com. Well, this is the third and final episode in our mini-series, if you will, on Sabbath. Austin Catalano has been with us the last two episodes, and she's here once again. Austin has become convinced that all disciples of Jesus should consider the instruction of the Lord for his people to take a weekly and literal 24-hour Sabbath. This is something she's been doing for some time now, and what I love is that she has been very honest with us about how reluctant she was to do this and how hard it was at first. Like all of us, she's busy, very busy, being a wife and a mom, a school leader, and a house church leader. On this episode, she's going to give us some really good insight into how to not only press into Sabbath ourselves, but how to also, as disciple makers, encourage and lead others in this practice as well. So, one more time, here's Gina and Austin, and this time, they're talking about how to disciple others into rest.
Austin, you've given us so many helpful, super practical tips as you've been on this journey of leaning into Sabbath, learning how to do it. For this episode, we're going to dive into what it looks like to disciple others into Sabbath. So I'm thinking about a couple different contexts. Obviously, in this podcast, we talk a lot about discipleship and mission. And so with the assumption that all of us are intentionally leaning into discipling relationships. So we have people that we're intentionally investing in. And as we're going first and we're putting into practice some of the rhythms and patterns that we see in the life of Jesus, our hope is that they learn how to imitate the life of Jesus by seeing some of those things in us and starting to imitate putting some new predictable patterns into practice as well. So I'm thinking about discipling relationships, those that we're investing in. I'm also thinking about even our families. And so some of us maybe have spouses that also have been kicking and screaming and maybe not super open to the idea of, say, a family Sabbath day, if that has been a conversation that has come up before, or curious about how do you even start to have this be a family value that you hold together? What does kids leaning into Sabbath look like? So I kind of want to start to talk about what does it look like to disciple others into the rhythm of Sabbath and resting intentionally. You've been tiptoeing into that. You've been leaning into that. And so I want to kind of fire off a bunch of questions. I'm so curious about the approach that you've taken, how that's been received, even some practical things. We're all about the practical. So we're going to get there. But I think where I want to start is why. It's great that we're talking about your own rhythms, right? And you really believing like the Lord has asked you to put some new rhythms into play in your own life. Mm-hmm. But why would you consider taking others that you're investing in on a similar journey of learning how to Sabbath as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing is I started to make some observations. Like, that's what we like to do, right? Practitioners, we like to observe what's happening. And I started to observe things in the people that I was discipling and in myself, things like exhaustion and a lack of focus. People started saying, you know, I'm really having trouble hearing the Lord, or they would go so far as to say, you know, God just feels really distant right now. And those things started to repeat. And I was like, yikes. And then that led to things like obedient actions, like the I will statements. I read this passage of scripture and I feel like the Lord's saying this, so I come up with an I will statement, like how I'm going to respond to that as an obedient action. And those I will statements started to disappear. Like, people started to not have things that they were going to do. And it started to actually feel like a tremendous amount of work for us. Like this whole missional lifestyle or even just the everyday obedient actions that we would want to do, it just felt like people would say, this is hard. And it felt like that whole idea of, you know, what Jesus says, you know, my yoke is easy. And it felt like that was no longer the case. Like people were saying, this is really hard. And so to me, the why really comes down to, you know, Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I'll give you rest. And it felt like we were stumbling into that more and more. And it wasn't just me personally, like it was definitely me personally, but I was seeing that in other people. And so that's when I was like, you know what? I think maybe this is the place to go.
Yeah, that's so good. And such a good, like, intuitive reaction for you rather than pushing harder or trying to get more practical and maybe let's try a different angle or you can try this. You were like, nope, we actually need to stop and learn how to rest and play.
Well, in fairness, I did actually do a little of that at first. So
backfired. Didn't work. Yeah. That's good. What is, so you started leaning into this a little bit with those that you're discipling. What's kind of their first reaction?
Anger, frustration, open hostility. Not one person was like, oh, this sounds like a great idea. Let's lean into that. No. I was surprised. I was surprised at the level of hostility, that it was not just, I don't like that idea. People were actually angry, like angry that I had suggested it.
What do you think is underneath that? So all of our emotions are kind of like, they're a symptom to what's inside.
Yeah.
So we recognize there's an emotion, which then a lot of us say like that is a clue for us to look a little deeper and see what's underneath. And so what do you suppose is the reaction? Is it like, I can't believe that you're asking me to stop and rest. Don't you know how busy I am? Like, that's an impossibility. Was it an overwhelm, feeling like it's an impossibility? Was it something else? What do you see?
I think it was an overwhelm. I mean, you know, language is tricky. I use the word Sabbath, and if I say that to 10 people, all 10 of those people are going to have a different definition.
True.
And it's going to mean something different. And exactly what you said, it's like, what is underneath it? What's under the surface simmering that maybe even we're not aware of that it means? So maybe I say it and somebody says, you just said to me, you're doing too much, or you're not doing the right things, or you're not focused on the right things. However it gets interpreted was probably a direct affront to them in some way.
Discipleship is always an invitation into something. When you're discipling someone, you're never demanding them to have some sort of action. It's an invitation to imitate the life of Jesus. So how did you navigate that? I mean, we use language like invitation and challenge. How do you support them? How did you navigate that rather than just plowing through with a bunch of challenging statements? How did you navigate that?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, especially because it's all the different places. So I'm a parent, and as a parent, you know, sometimes it does fall into the, you need a snack and a nap, like, you know, it's that thing. So we're just go do the things. But for this, you really can't do that. It doesn't matter if you're a parent or it's a friend or a discipling relationship. Like I really had to be patient with people and
helping them hear the Lord rather than just saying like, here's this good idea that I think you should, that would benefit you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And give them time. That's the thing that I found, that it took about, I mean, anywhere from a month to 2 months of talking about Sabbath and talking about its importance. And yeah, I mean, it's not like this is, we've said this before, it is not like this is just a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's not an optional piece of our life. And so because it's a commandment, I have to assume that this is the way that God is loving me. So how does he need to love them? And what is it helping them get at? Why does this feel so hard or so challenging? I mean, they all said, I can't do it. Like, that's not even possible. Because I was asking for a 24-hour Sabbath. I was like, give me 24 hours. And they were like, nope, that's not even a possibility. So they already felt like they were a failure. For some people, I encourage them to, we read a few books together on Sabbath. That was one avenue. The biggest thing was reframing the way that we think about Sabbath. So what does Sabbath actually mean? Well, if you really think about it, it's like Sabbath is a freedom-making activity. So that's how I tried to kind of talk about it a little bit more. Instead of what does Sabbath take away from me? Instead, we say this is a freedom-making activity. The Israelites leave a place where they're only valued for the thing that they can produce. Well, how much can I produce? And that's your value. And God takes them out of that slavery, and he doesn't want to put them back in slavery. He's trying to free them from that. So he gives them Sabbath. I think of it as a resistance activity. There's a few people have talked about it as a resistance activity. I love that language. It seems to resonate with a lot of people that it's not a weakness activity. So if you're thinking about this as I can't function. I mean, it's true. We're not made to just bulldoze through things. We are made to rest. But it tends to make me think, oh, well, I'm just weak, so I can't do that. And that doesn't really encourage me to lean in. So instead, I think about it as a freedom-making activity that is a resistance activity. And it's a resistance against the cultural things that corrupt us. I mean, we love control. We love entertainment. I would probably go so far as to say, I think that we have some addictions to things like anxiety. We have addictions to violence, like violence against ourselves. But I mean, there are these weird things culturally. And all of those things eat away at our souls and they corrupt us. So our act of resistance is saying, I'm not going to do any of these things. I'm going to actively resist these corruptive forces. And so it pulls us away and it brings us back to being healthy and whole. And I love the language of steadfast and steady, like to really be engaged in the kingdom, we have to be steadfast and steady. And so it brings those things.
The reframing of Sabbath and what it is, what God is offering us, feels super powerful. So as you're discipling people towards rhythms, intentional rhythms of rest, how did you encourage them to start?
The first thing is I feel like people need to keep it simple. And they need to just try.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
No, it doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to try and you have to start. So pick a 24-hour period. You know, it can be evening to evening. It can be sun up to sundown. It can be whatever. It can include your gathered church worship service if you want it to, but it doesn't have to. It can really be any of those things. The biggest thing I think is to figure out what feels like work to you right now. What is the thing you actually need to rest from? So I ask myself that pretty regularly, like, what is the thing that I feel I need to rest from? And then it's like, what do I need to break from? What relationships do I want to lean into? Are there things relationally that I want to do with the people around me? And what might that be? And then I always think about what gives me life. So what are the things that give me life? And sometimes that's hard to identify at first, but just keep it simple and allow yourself the time and the freedom to let it be what it's going to be. So you can feel all the emotions that you have. Like they might be sad. They might be, you know, you might not be happy, but maybe you will be. I mean, it's a work in progress. It's not I'm going to do this once and everything's going to be resolved. This is where we're slowly learning how to unwind all of the things that we have wound up.
That's really good. I remember you talking about how your first Sabbath or two wasn't what you thought it was going to be. And you cried and it was awful. Yeah. And it was just really hard, probably because you were so wound and learning how to unwind that just felt really tricky.
Yeah.
So how did you, as a discipler, as someone who is intentionally leaning into this with people that you're investing in, what did that look like to walk with them through? Did you find that others had a similar experience?
They did. Yeah, they did. A lot of them did. And so I gave them a warning.
That
they knew that might be the case. I held them accountable to do it too. So, and then we experimented. We love experiments. So we just experimented with a month. So instead of saying, I want you to do this for the rest of your life indefinitely, which I do, I actually do want people to do that. But really, at first, I was like, can you just do this for a month? And I'm and not even like not even a 5 week month. Like, let's just do it for give me four Sabbaths. And so we did it together, which I think was really helpful.
That's good.
Yes. If you have people in your house, it's so much easier if everybody's doing it together. I think like that's the Jewish model of Sabbath is beautiful because if everybody's doing it together, it makes it a whole lot easier to keep with your Sabbath rhythms. But knowing that somebody somewhere else is also doing it at the same time or at least that week makes it better, makes it easier. The thing that I warned them about was just to remember with the emotional side is to give themselves space, like build in plenty of opportunity to do nothing. We just do not really afford ourselves that. And I think we need it. We need to not think about anything. We need to sit and be quiet. And so I was like, just make sure that your whatever that time is, that you have space to do nothing. Things might come up that you feel like I want to go do that thing, but just make sure that you're holding space differently. And I think that was really helpful for them as well.
That's good. So you're discipling people in a variety of walks of life, stages of life. As you're helping them identify what feels like work to them, leading them through some kind of rest experiments, tell us some stories. What are some of the things that people tried or put into practice? What did you see?
Oh, I love this. I mean, the best ideas come from other people. So I stole so many ideas from the people that I was discipling. It was great. One thing that somebody did was she was talking about how she's a mom and she's got four kids and they're really busy. And so one of the things she felt like she wanted to lean into was relationship. And all she wanted to do was be available to her kids. So she started a routine where on her Sabbath, she'd make a cup of tea and she had a book that she was reading and she'd sit on the couch in like the living room space where everybody was always walking through. And inside what she was saying was, if anybody wants to sit and talk with me, I'm going to put my book down and just sit here and enjoy time with them. And I mean, she didn't verbally say that to anybody, but that's exactly what started to happen. And then her boys would be like, Mom, what are you doing? But then she would notice they would sit down and one would sit down and then another one would come down. And pretty soon they were all just connecting in a really fun way. So the simplicity behind that is I'm going to have a cup of tea and a book that I can put down if they come in. That was it. Another idea was that there was just to lean into the spouse relationship. There was a brewery that was down the street. And so she and her husband would take an hour on their Sabbath and they'd walk down the street and they'd have an hour to talk about anything they wanted. Really, they stayed away from the like planning things. Like they weren't talking about, you know, what we're doing this week and how is this doing that. They were really consistent about our conversation has to be just like things we're thinking about and nothing, I don't know what the right word is.
That makes life happen, like all the details of running the family in the house. Yeah,
exactly. So they had an hour where they could do that. And the way that they connected, and that's one I stole. So Frank and I do that and I love it. I mean, it's like one of my favorite. I mean, we don't go to a local brewery. We normally just sit at home, but it's the idea of I have an hour of my Sabbath is going to be spent directed at my spouse. Other ideas like walking the dog in your neighborhood and prayer walking. So you're going to have to do some things, but some people actually really enjoy the time walking the dog. And so if that's something that feels wonderful to you, then it did to this person, that's something that they did. Another person loves to garden and weed the garden. And so for her, her best Sabbath moments were spent summer days, you know, weeding the garden. We have a no technology rule because I just think, well, I feel like I don't even need to explain that. We find it that like we limit it. And now the kids are just, the way they engage with each other is totally different because they don't have something that they're kind of drawn to. So they end up playing games together and do lots of things. They complain about boredom often. And I always say it's good to be bored. And it is good to be bored. So we'll, you know, we do that, but it always leads to some sort of activity together that isn't parent driven, which is really lovely as a parent. We eat together a lot, like lots of like figuring out ways to kind of gather people together and just enjoy a meal. There's a handful of people are really feel strongly about not shopping on Sabbath. And so that's one you're going to have to sort out. Stores used to be closed on Sundays. And so that wasn't even an option. Like you just weren't able to shop. And that's not true anywhere anymore. So why are you shopping? Like, are we shopping to keep ourselves entertained or trying to fill a void? Or is it actually a restful activity that you really enjoy? You're going to have to sort that one out. Some people just feel like it's not good. We don't. We try not to anyway. We try not to do anything like that on a Sunday, but that's a personal choice. I feel like you can make those things. Trying to keep quiet times, like there has to be in mine, because the structure of my life right now is one where it is loud a lot of the times. Silence is not something that I have a lot of. So that's just my life stage. So on my Sabbath, I really try to have like, can I just have an hour of quiet? That feels important to me at this life stage. Like thinking of it as what's going to restore you, what's going to refill you, what's going to renew you for what's ahead. Like if you can kind of think about that, like, does this feel restorative? Does this feel like I'm being refilled? Does it feel like I'm being renewed? And if the answer is or a definite no, then stop it. Just don't do that.
So good. I love all those ideas. In your household, you have elementary school kids and you also have teenagers. As you're leading them through the same questions of what feels like work and what restores you, what feels like rest and play and all of those things, what have you noticed them choosing to do on Sabbath?
Things I didn't anticipate, actually, to be honest. My oldest is 16 and he pretty much every Sabbath now is like game master. And so he'll get everybody who's interested in playing a board game of some type, he'll get them going and they'll do something, which normally draws the rest of us into it because it's fun. So he ends up doing that. I have my oldest daughter had stopped reading for a long time. And one of the things that I love about Sabbath is being able to read a fiction book that's kind of just for fun. So I read a lot and now she started reading again too. My younger two, well, actually probably all of the three girls end up doing some sort of art project. So there's art and creativity tend to be kind of part and parcel with like, oh, I don't have something else to do to fill my time and then I can be creative. And I feel like that's just such a great thing to do. I feel like that's really good. So for them, they've done that. But if it's summer, they really love to be outside and in the woods. And so they usually choose some sort of physical activity. And a lot of times, like, yeah, my oldest son will just, he says that his favorite place to hear from God and just to be with God is out in the woods by himself. So he has, that we have all these little hammocks and they'll just take a hammock out in the woods and be out there for hours. So they kind of find a rhythm of some things together and some things apart. But if they have activities that they want to do with friends, I encourage that. If I can see that they're wanting to lean into certain friendship relationships, then I will encourage that and I'll help make that happen too.
I mean, to be clear, sometimes it's tricky to be on this side of the story, hearing you talk about all the amazing choices that your kids are making to choose to rest and all of that. But to be clear, this is a new rhythm for your family in the last year.
Yes.
So you introduced it well into their childhood. This was not something that they grew up with their whole life.
No. Yeah.
But similar to what you did as you're discipling other people, you went first. You didn't say to everyone that you're discipling and your whole family, like, we're all doing this thing together. You actually went first and saw the power of it in your own life and had your own story to tell. And so what have you seen in terms of like growth and maturity and health as you've seen both people within your own household as well as those that you're discipling start to take steps towards and embrace rhythms of rest? What are you noticing?
Probably that like it's kingdom math. And what I mean is the investment that we make in that 24 hours, the returns are much larger than what that 24 hours actually should return. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like, it's kind of monkey math, but I call it kingdom math because that's like the way it works. It's like, I'm going to put in a little and God's going to do something miraculous with it. So the things that I see the most of are character changes. I mean, there's just enormous amounts of character growth. So if you think of like the fruit of the spirit and just general attitudes and patience, I mean, slow to anger, quick to forgive, there's exponential growth in those places. And it's really interesting because what I find is like, there's less stress during the week because of that. Like the workload hasn't changed. And if anything, I've put more pressure on it because I've just taken a full day out of the productivity chain. But what has happened is like just yesterday, a woman said that she's been practicing Sabbath and the thing for her was joy. And like, she was like, I find so many things funny now and I laugh all the time and I almost think I'm crazy because why am I so happy? But so joy has been like this overflow. I would say that that's true for me too. I would say that there's a depth in being able to see things clearly. Like, what is it that God is saying? What is he asking me to do? And then also like a trust that has been built over the course, certainly over the course of the last year, the trust that's been built is, if you trust me with this, like God saying, if you trust me with this, I will do something really miraculous with it. And here's what it looks like. And I just feel like he just continues to show up in that way.
Again, thank you to Austin Catalano for sharing such helpful insight and advice from her own personal Sabbath journey. Our hope is that this series will help encourage you to see God's gift of rest as being vital and life-giving as you pursue the Jesus-shaped life. So one more time, let me recommend a few resources that might prove helpful to you on this journey. Two books, one called Embracing Rhythms of Work and Rest, and the other called Invitation to Retreat. Both of these books are by Ruth Haley Barton. And once again, we'll put links in the show notes to both of these books so that you can pick up copies for yourself. Well, for Gina Mueller, I'm Mike Potter. Thank you for joining us, and may you continue to listen to the Lord and follow him as he leads you on mission.